But as we've been looking at Romans, Paul's writing to the church there. He's writing this from Corinth, and that's where he's been. And he's just encouraging these folks here. He's never met these folks. I'm sure he's heard about them and heard about their ministry and the things that are going on. But he's just writing to them, and he's making some or giving them some instruction. And of course, the chapter 1, beginning verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20, he talked about the fact that man has no righteousness in them at all. The idea that therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There's nothing we can do. We're not righteous in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. There's nothing we can stand before a holy God and say, look what I've done. Look how good I was. Look at all that I gave. None of that's going to be a factor when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, other than the fact he would say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so then in chapter 3, beginning verse 21 through chapter 5, 21, Paul shared God's provision for righteousness. That's justification by faith. It's putting our faith in Jesus Christ, being justified by what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. And in chapter 6 and through 8, we're in the middle of it, he speaks of sanctification. And he talks about that, and he's teaching the church there and us as well. Let me just put this down here. And so chapter 6, he dealt with the union in Christ, the union of the believer in Christ. Chapter 7, he's teaching us that we have two natures. And he's given us some practical application of what this means, or trying to help us understand. And it's those two natures, they don't have anything in common but you. And that's the problem that we struggle with, is that we have those two natures. And then this last section here, he's going to really help us to understand about these natures and teach us. In chapter 8, he's going to tell us about the victory we have through the Holy Spirit. All this has to do with sanctification and what God's doing in our lives and what he will do. And so tonight, we're going to open up Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll pick up in verse 14 through the last few verses to 25. But I'm going to read the whole thing just so we can have it all in context tonight. So if you'll follow along, Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members and to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin is dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And again, as Paul is laying it out for us and trying to help us understand about this situation, that once you're saved doesn't mean that you no longer have the sin nature. Father, but as we grow in Christ and as we continue to look to you, we still have choices to make. Although we will never be perfect until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, we have a desire to continue to walk and grow closer to you each day. And Father, Paul is explaining these things to us today, and I pray you would help us to look at these and to understand them and apply them in our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first off, he talked about the authority of the law in the first part of the chapter, first six verses. He talked about the marriage. If there was a marriage relationship, once it's the vows have been spoken, then they're supposed to stay married until death. If the husband died, then the woman was loosed from that marriage. She was loosed from that law. But if the husband didn't die, then and she married somebody else, she would be called an adulteress. She broke the law. But if her husband was dead, she'd be free from that law. And he shared that in the context of, he gave that illustration to show us, once we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we become dead to sin and we're alive to Christ. We are actually, in a sense, marrying Christ, which we are. We are the bride of Christ. And he's explaining it that way, that we're no longer under that law, not the letter, but the spirit. And that spirit is, when we have the love of Christ in our lives, we'll want to keep the law. We'll want to follow those things. Not because we have a little checkpoint and a calendar, because we love the Lord and we reverence God, we want to obey Him and please Him. That's as he shares in the first part of the chapter 7. They talked about the ministry law. The purpose of the law was for really basic one thing. Basically, is to show us that we're sinners. Show us that we cannot keep the law. He's told us the law was holy. The commandment was holy, just, and good. It was something to observe. It's worthy. But nonetheless, because of that law, we realize in the flesh, in the old man, we cannot keep that law. We will fail every time. And that's what he's explained to us. It is the law that revealed to me that I was a sinner. And this is prior to his salvation, as he's explaining, that once he understood that, then he saw that he was a sinner. And of course, he was in verse, 13, says, was that when, which is good, made me, made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. He says, now I realized how sinful I was. Why? Because I was breaking a holy law. I was breaking something that was just, something that was right. And so he understood by the law, the ministry of laws, to bring us to Christ. It's our schoolmaster. But then he comes down to verse 14 to the end of the chapter, and he's going to talk about the old nature versus the new nature. And the fact is, every person has the old nature. There's nobody that doesn't have the old nature. It's called the flesh, okay? A carnal Christian is living in the old nature. That's what carnal means. It's a carnal, someone who's carnal, speaking in the Bible terms, it's a Christian who's living, following the old nature. So you have the Christian, you have the carnal, and then you have the one who's lost. So we all have the old nature. But here he's talking about after salvation, he comes to this conclusion, and he's drawing these lines and helping us to understand. Verse 14 says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So he's talking about this relationship that happens after you put your faith and trust in Christ. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you become a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. It's something that happens in your life and continues to happen until you meet the Lord. And so he's got this struggle. He says, hey, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He's a Christian, born again, but yet now he's saying, I'm carnal. That means he's not following the Lord. He's sold under sin. Now, he's going to try to help us explain this. Now, we're going to get the conclusion. It's not that he's saying it's okay to sin. That's not what he's saying. We've already read chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, let it not be so. God forbid, right? And so he's just going to explain the facts of life here to us to help us out and to understand. So he tells us here this is a truth. The law is spiritual and it pertains to the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with the law. And the contrast is that he is carnal. So the law we know is good. In Hebrews 4:12, Paul wrote this. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What he's saying is the word of God, which is all of this, the law included, is all good. It's powerful. It's there for a reason. It's to help us as Christians to grow in this grace that God's called us in. And that's what he's done. He's saying that the law is spiritual. But then he says, and he starts off with that word but, which is always a turnaround. It's a contrast. It's going another direction. So the law is spiritual. He says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So again, it resides with the old nature that Paul is struggling with. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I love the Lord. Yes, I want to follow the Lord. But I still have this old nature, and I still struggle with this. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's what happens is that which pertains to the flesh, as we let it rule in our lives. And so we know the old man is rebellious. The old nature is rebellious. You know what I'm saying? Every one of us has experienced that, have we not? As a Christian, have been in the flesh, let the old nature come out, been rebellious to God. Now, we might not think in those terms, but that's exactly what it is. And that's what he's trying to help us understand that. And this is something that he's struggling with, and we will too. He's making the statement that all of us are, but he's talking about his own personal testimony here. He said it's sold under sin. That's a past action that continues on. It carries the idea that sin is powerful. It is. We know that Satan is powerful, right? He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What does he do? He tries to tempt people to do what? Sin. Disobey God. Turn from him. Practice evil. We see it every day in our lives. If you look at the news at all, it's constantly going on. So he's saying that he was saved and he's set free from the power of sin, but sin continues to attempt him to disobey God or to control him. And that's the battle, you know. It's that whole thing inside of us. And it's like the old Indian adage. I said this, I think, last week, too, where you got two dogs in your inside of you, and the one you feed is going to win the battle or the fight. And that's true. If you feed the flesh, it's going to win. If you feed the spirit, it's going to win. And that's the battle, is how do we control that? How can we live in this life like that? He's telling us, well, the law cannot transform the old nature. It can only reveal how sinful it is. In Galatians 3:24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that, faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And that's that whole idea. As long as we are walking with Christ and following him, then we don't need the law. But when the old man rises up, that's when the law is important. Because again, it reveals to us, hey, we got a problem. And that is that we are sinning. Of course, the Spirit of God will remind us of that. Paul, he will never experience the second death in the lake of fire. But he did experience the first death, that physical death. And that's the key here, is that when you put your faith and trust in Christ, there's two births. The first one is your physical birth. The second one is your spiritual birth when you ask Jesus to save you. When you get older and when you pass off the scene, if you accept Christ as your Savior and have those two births, you'll only have one death, a physical death. Because spiritually, you'll live forever and ever and ever. And one day, that body that was placed in the ground, I don't know where I saw it, somewhere, someone said they buried, it was 12 feet, they buried people. I thought, really? That's a long way to bury somebody. But anyway, I don't know why that came up. But whenever Christ comes back, you're going to be raised out of that grave and you're going to spend eternity with Christ if you're a Christian. And so it's not the law that is the problem. He's saying that. It's not the law. It's me. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. We can't go to God and say, God, your law is wrong. It's bad. I can't keep it. Yeah, you're right. You can't keep it. But it's good. It's holy. It's just. And so we want to look at that and understand from Paul's perspective. So Paul shares why the law is spiritual and he is carnal. Look at verse 15 down to verse 21. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But I hate, that do I. And so it's just opposite is what he's saying. He says, the things that I should do, the things that I really want to do, I don't do. I do just the opposite. You know, it's like when you get saved and you start learning about the Lord and you start finding out things and the Word of God reveals to you those things. And so you make commitments along the way. And as you're making those commitments, every now and then again, you may make a commitment and you'll find yourself falling. You're going, boy, this is what I want to do, but I'm not doing it. And that's Paul's situation here. For that which I do, I allow not. He's saying that the very things I do, I don't want to do. And verse 16 says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. He says, if I do that which I would not, if I do that I would not, then he's saying, okay, I agree on that the law is good. The law reveals to me what I'm doing, those things I shouldn't do. And Paul, he sees the goodness of the law and that it points out what is wrong in his life. He's convicted by the law, and it gives him the idea that there's something wrong in his life. Same thing for us. When we read the Word of God, the law, we are convicted by it. What do we do when we're convicted by it? What do we do when we realize that the things I should do, I don't do, and vice versa? What does the Bible teach us? We just continue down that path? We just continue to struggle with that battle? When we realize it and we know it's there, the instant we know it, what can we do? That's right. Oh, wretched man that I am. And just go to God and just do what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ought to be doing that often if we're doing those things that aren't right. We ought to be doing less as we grow in Christ, but especially new Christians, there are times that we come across something, we do something. It could be a thought, and we need to be talking to God. Please forgive me for that thought, or that action, whatever that happens to be. Verse 17 says, now then, it is no more that I do it, but that sin that dwelleth in me. So what is he saying here? I'm a Christian. I'm following God. I want to follow God. But then when he sins, he's saying, it's not me doing it. It's the old man, the guy that's inside of me and won't let me go, and I got to fight all the time. He's the guilty party, is kind of what he's trying to say. Is that it's the sin that dwelleth in me, and it doesn't leave us until we see Jesus Christ, right? And so he's coming to that conclusion. This is what he says, now then, that war of two natures that we continue to fight. When we follow Christ, that is the new man. We find ourselves walking in the right way, being obedient and trusting the Lord. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and I'll explain some of the situations there. And then next thing you know, we're in the flesh. And right away, the old man is reared his ugly head. Galatians 5, 17 through 18 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And that's the whole key, is that being controlled by the Spirit. That's the battle we have, is to put ourselves in a position that we're praying and we're studying the Word of God and we're looking to God to help us to be in the position that we're with Him at all times in our lives. And there are many times that we're not, because we step outside of that. And it just takes a second, just a thought, that can occur. So he says in verse 18, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwell no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And he's just explaining again that as a born-again Christian, he still has the old nature. What's the old nature like? Is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's who he was before he saved, and that's what he's battling now with that old nature that's still in there. We still have to battle those things. We still have to struggle with those things. Why? Because we got to give over to the Lord, and we're not. Often we don't. He says, "The will is present with me." That carries the idea that Paul intends to do right all the time. That's his goal, is to do right, to serve the Lord, and to be on the right path. But he says to perform or work fully that which is good, he says, I find not. I can't do it all the time. None of us can. Because if we could, we'd be with Jesus and we'd see him face to face right now. But there's no excuse. How often do you hear that? Well, God knows I'm going to sin. I don't know if you hear this. I've heard it. God knows I'm going to sin, so what's the big deal? The big deal is he doesn't want you to sin. If you're a child of God, you shouldn't want to sin. You should hate it as much as God hates it. When you do it, there ought to be the spirit in your heart and your soul that says, hey, you need to get right with God. So Paul's struggling with this. It is a real battle. It's something that's going on in every believer's life. Right now, tonight. And verse 19 says, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And so again, he's coming up with this thing and says, the things I want to do, I just don't do them. But the evil, the things that I wish not to do, he says, I do. The things I purpose not to do, I do. The things I'm willing not to do, he says, I do. I do. Paul is drawing the problem out. In verse 20, he says, "Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Again, as in chapter or verse 17, he's explaining to us that it's in us. It's the sin that's in us. I don't want to do these things. My heart and mind says, I want to follow God. But yet, I still do these things because the old man pops up and he does this to us and brings us. And he's talking about a principle in verse 21. He says, "I find then a law." Now, this is not the law. It's not Moses' law. It is a principle or an axiom, he's saying, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So he's saying, no matter where I go, I'm walking down the aisle here, no matter where I am, I got two natures battling. I got the Lord and I got the old nature. It's here right now. When I get my car and drive down the road, it's going to be with me. He said, it's there all the time. And that is a principle that we all need to understand. And that's, as Christians, we see that. And when we confront it, then that's when we can conquer these things. And we'll never conquer all of it. But there are different situations, different things in our lives that we can put a stake in the ground and conquer those things when we realize their sin and ask God to forgive us. So then in verse 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He's talking about that inward man, that new man in Christ. He says, "I delight in it. It's wonderful. I love it." When does he not love it? When the old man pops up, because it reveals to him that he's not walking with God. He says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." But then he has another axiom. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So he's saying, these two laws, one is that evil's always with me. There's always the old man. Another is that here's a war in my mind and my members. I'm reminded, I've done this many times, but there are other things too. But it's like driving on the road, and you're doing the speed limit, and you see someone pass you at 10 miles an hour or something. What's the first thought in your head? Lord, please protect this guy. Give him safety on the road. I hope he doesn't wreck. No, the first thing in your mind says, I hope there's a cop around the corner and nails him. You know? Or what about a slippery road in the wintertime? You're going a lot slower than speed limit. I'm going a lot slower than speed limit, okay? I don't know if you are, but I am, because I'm just not real good at snow driving. And someone comes along and passes you in a place. Now, they're not speeding, but they're going faster. And the thought comes to you, I bet I'll see them in a ditch in a minute, or I hope they get in a ditch or something, those speeders or whatever. Well, what happens there is that regardless of what you think about it, is that here you are, a spiritual person, you love God, you're trying to love people, and this person just happens to pass you or do whatever, and instead of thinking good things, right away you think something bad. I hope something bad happens to them. In the Bible, does it say we're supposed to pray that bad things happen? We pray for God's will. And if that happens to be something bad, that's between them and God. God uses sometimes bad things in people's lives to get their attention. But that's getting in the flesh in a sense. And that right away, you just let your mind go somewhere that probably shouldn't. It's like when you get in an argument with somebody. As a Christian, we're supposed to respond different than the world. Today, you get in somebody's face, and what's the first thing you want to do? Well, probably want to get them away from your face, right? But man, it's the reaction. It gets welled up, you know. It's like the hairs on your back just go all the way up, and you got a mohawk, right? And you want to, I can't have one of those. I got an inverted mohawk. And you just want to get on them, and you want to scream at them and yell at them and tell them how wrong they are. What is that? That's the old nature. Because we're supposed to be gentle, kind, and meek. We're supposed to think about things and try to respond and bring things down, not escalate those or make those rougher. That's part of what we're supposed to do as Christians. Now, again, we're not perfect. I mean, you come get in my face, I might just show you how imperfect I am. I hope not, but you never know. I'm just saying that's what he's talking about, is that it's easy to get in the flesh. The old man can come out in different times and different situations. One of your kids does something to you, and instead of going, oh, that hurts, or, you know, and just trying to and say, I understand. First thing you yell at him and scream at him and tell him, get out of here. What I remember when poor Johnny, before we came up here, Elizabeth, we went to McDonald's. I don't know if I told you the story. We went to McDonald's, and me and Elizabeth and John, I think Janie went and picked the older ones up at college. Is that right? And you must have had the two younger ones with you, because I only had Liz and John. Huh. Okay, you guys can probably see. They're my memory. Of course, Adam wasn't there, so he came later. Did you come that time? Anyway, don't worry about it. But anyway, they were there, and they're just kids, right? They're horsing around, playing, just kind of like the door we have in our church here. And they got out of the car, and I was ready to eat. You know, it's McDonald's night, and we're going to sit down and eat. I've been working all day, and whatever. Had the food, and the kids are bringing it in. And Johnny runs through the door first. And when in the door, it opens this way on the inside. And as soon as he got through the door, because it's a race, you know how races are. So what do for the person come behind you? You slam the door so they can't get through it. Liz is carrying something anyway. Her hand, arm, goes straight through the window. And she cut herself up pretty bad. And we had to take her to urgent care. Ended up in the hospital where she got a lot of stitches. I remember yelling at Johnny, go get this! Go, you dumb kid, why'd you do that? You know, here I am all set. I've got a meal. I haven't eaten in a long time. I want to eat my McDonald's, Big Mac, you know. That's back when they were good. Long time ago. 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And here he is, he's ruining the whole night. And not only that, she's bleeding to death. Liz goes, Dad, calm down. I said, okay. I told Johnny, get a clean t-shirt. He throws down a dirty rag. She's bleeding all over the floor. But that night, I got in the flesh. I could have handled that differently. And that's what I'm learning more and more. Is the first thing you do is just pray to God. As soon as I saw today what I would do, and I do that with the Finsky kids too, if I see them hurt, right away I'll just say, Lord, help them out. One of the kids got dropped the other day by accident, or I guess he jumped, whatever. I said, Lord, please help me. You know, do what? Oh, he didn't get thrown. Right. Anyway, it's a different situation now. Lord, please help me, calm my spirit, help me to do the right thing. And see, so there's lessons to learn. And again, we're all struggling in this area. And these are simple things. There are a lot worse things we can do in the flesh. But these are not premeditated sin. It's just something that the old man comes up and rears his ugly head. That's what he's talking about here. It's not talking about, I plan on sinning tonight. I plan on doing something that disobeys God. He's not saying that. He's saying this is something that the old man just pops up all of a sudden. And there he is. And he knows, boy, I hate this. I'm in the wrong place. and I don't want to be here. And that's where he says in verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, he realized because of this sin that keeps popping up, because of this that happens in his life, he feels like, man, I can't win for losing. It just keeps happening, you know? And it's going to keep happening as we grow in grace and we learn more and more and learn how to. Part of it is what we have to do is you have to practice Christianity to be able to do it. If you practice these things when these situations happen, then you will be able to do those things. In other words, it's like anything. If you don't ever practice these things and you always sound off and you always get out of control or whatever, then you're going to always let the old man control in those situations. So that's where we have to make a stand on this situation, back off and say, Lord, help me. You don't have to close your eyes and pray, but there's nothing wrong with that either. But the guy standing there, Lord, please give me the right words to say. And calm your heart and then address the situation. Even if the person's wrong, we don't want to escalate the situation. That's the old man. Some people think, well, I got righteous indignation. Well, I don't see that in the Bible, that there's very often that we have righteous indignation, especially when we're screaming and yelling at people. But the old man is his difficulty. The old man is the problem. And so he's saying, man, I am most miserable when this happens. It's a bad thing. He wants to please God, but the other hand, he's failing to do so because the old man rears up. The new nature and the old nature, they're fighting each other. And again, as we feed the new nature, here's how you feed the new nature. Right here. Seek God. Well, just like he says, humble yourselves, right? Pray and seek my face. How do I get his face? I get it right here. Seek his face. And then turn from our wicked ways. That's when we'll have success. That's when we can squash the old man. That's why, because we're getting the new man stronger. Somebody's going to win this battle. The one you feed the most is going to win. The other one's going to lose. And even as a Christian, we can walk and be carnal Christians. And be carnal Christians all our lives. That's what he talks about in 1 Corinthians. Is that I have to keep feeding with milk. I can't feed you with meat because you're not growing. You're not able to. You don't have teeth yet to chew the meat. And that's what we want to be able to do, is chew the meat to understand what Paul is teaching us here. So he asked that rhetorical question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said in verse 24. And what he's talking about is the physical aspect of his life. But also he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's the answer. This is the deliverance that we can have. It is only through Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we have deliverance, and that deliverance is going to be forever and ever and ever. But also, we will be in a mortal, not a mortal, an incorruptible body in heaven one day as well. But on this earth, as long as we have these two natures, we're going to fight them, and we need help. We need the power of the Spirit of God. And that's what he's going to talk about in Romans chapter 8, is how we can do that. And so we go and we serve the Lord. And Paul, he summarized the whole chapter by stating the facts. And the facts in the come after this is, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. He says, I'm going to serve the law with God. But my flesh, he says, the law of sin. So the flesh is going to be there and the mind is going to be there. And they're always going to be contrary to each other. As a Christian, we're going to be fighting this thing out until the very day we see Jesus Christ. But we don't have to lose all the time. And that's what he's teaching us in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8. He's not trying to make an excuse for sin, but really what he's doing is he's explaining why we sin. Does that make sense? Why we sin? The old nature. It's through the power of the Spirit of God and a renewed mind that we can have success in the Christian life. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so that's how it's going to have to occur. We're going to continue to have problems with sin all our lives. But we ought to be sinning less. We'll never be sinless, but we ought to be sinning less. As we learn what God wants us to do and how to obey Him, realizing that I can't do it. If I want to squelch the old man, I need the power of the Spirit of God in my life. And that's why it's so important to make much of God and to spend time with God and talk to God so you can walk with God. That's the only way it's going to occur. All right, let's go ahead and be dismissed. Father, go ahead and stand if you would. Father, we thank you again for this night. We thank you for your love for us. And we thank you for Paul and the time that he spent writing these letters through the power of the Spirit of God, that he might encourage these churches to help them as we need this help as well. Knowing that, yes, we have the old nature and the new nature, knowing that there's always going to be a struggle, but the struggle can be less and less as we continue to grow in maturity in the spiritual life. And Father, I pray you'd help each one of us to look to you and trust you, realizing that you are a great God and that you do love us and care for us, and you have a plan for each one of us. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are dismissed. A couple